We invite your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. And we'll take a text from verse 2. And our subject tonight, Lord willing, will be Christ receiving sinners. Christ receiving sinners. In Luke, chapter 15, and verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now the Pharisees were among the greatest enemies that Jesus Christ encountered during his mission on earth to redeem fallen sinners. They were filled with spiritual pride, and they were so self-righteous that they treated with great disrespect the message of grace published by the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no honor for the message of Christ. They had no honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had absolutely no respect for he or for his message. In addition to this, they wished to monopolize the profession of religion to themselves. And instead of rejoicing at the repentance of a sinner and the profane, they treated such with disrespect and contempt. It is said in verse 1 that all the publicans and etc. drew near to Christ. And this was sufficient for the envious Pharisees and the scribes. And they murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners." I'm glad that he does. And I'm thankful that he still does. And this sentiment, which they uttered in malice and wickedness, was the occasion of that beautiful series of parables that began with the lost sheep and ended with the prodigal son. And this sentiment expresses the very glory of the gospel message, and it is one that should be conveyed to the earth's uttermost bounds, from coast to coast, sea to sea, from mountains, tops, and valleys. This is what we should be echoing today. Christ receiveth sinners. There are three things about Christ receiving sinners that I wish to share with you in this message for this time. And Lord willing, and he give me grace to so do, these three things will be our message and our outlines for this time. And let me give you these three, and then by God's amazing grace, we will try to elaborate. First of all, we'll note the description of sinners that Christ will receive. What do these sinners look like? What are they? What kind of sinners does Christ receive? And secondly, into what Jesus Christ receives sinners? Into what does he receive sinners? And thirdly, the way and the manner in which Christ receiveth sinners. Now, please let all the saved be praying then that the Almighty God would be pleased to allow the Holy Spirit be our teacher as we study together. First, we want to note the description of sinners that Christ will receive. What does a sinner look like that Christ would receive? What would be his attitude? What would be his profession? What would be his aim in life, and etc.? Well, we read in the Word of God that sin is a transgression of the law. And we've heard a lot about sin, and I'm surprised today at the number of so-called born-again Christians that have absolutely no idea what sin is. Sin to most people is what somebody else does that they don't approve of. But according to the Word of God, sin is a transgression of the law. When God Almighty said, "Don't do," and we do, it's sin. Amen. And when God Almighty says to do, and we don't do, it's sin. Just as plain and simple as that. So a sinner then is a transgressor. Now this is a character applicable to all men. Why? For all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said we all are sheep that have gone astray. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So first of all, Jesus will receive sinners of all ages. It doesn't make any difference how young a sinner might be, and it doesn't make any difference how old a sinner might be. And I thank God that Jesus receives a sinner of all ages. He receives a teenager. He receives a young man. He receives a young woman and the old man. So all ages of sinners, Christ will receive. Amen. There is, he loves those that seek him early. And the Bible says that he assures them that they will find him. Seek ye while you may find him. And the Bible says to seek him while you're young and that you're sure to find him. But he will not reject those of mature age. He will not reject the old gray-headed man. He will not reject the old gray-headed woman. He will not reject the sinner that has lived 90 or 100 years old in sin. He will save every sinner that will come to him. Amen. He receiveth all kinds Amen. Of sinners. Amen. There is hope for the aged. There is hope for any transgressor, even at the 11th hour. I've heard preachers say emphatically that Jesus Christ did not save sinners on their deathbed. I disagree with that. I believe that Jesus Christ will receive sinners no matter if it's at the 11th hour and the 59th minute. When every person calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same shall be saved. I think we make this thing of the gospel too complicated from time to time. And I think that that is absolutely unnecessary. And Jesus will receive sinners from all walks of life. It doesn't make any difference what this person might have been or what they might be at the present. He receives sinners from all walks of life. He saves educators. He saves engineers. He saves pilots. He saves seamen. He saves soldiers and sailors. And he does not reject any sinner that will call upon the name of the Lord. God showed mercy to royalty. He showed mercy to Nebuchadnezzar. He put the king out in the field until his hair was like bird feathers. His fingernails were like bird claws. But when he returned to his senses, God showed mercy to him. And God showed mercy to others in royalty as well. He will not reject on this account, but he will not despise the poor and the wretched of mankind. He will save the rich. Many people think that God doesn't save the rich, but God will save the rich. God will save the rich as well as he will the poor and the wretched. It doesn't make any difference if they live in a mansion on the hilltop or if they live in the valley in a cabin. God will save. He shows mercy to whomever he pleases. He healed the nobleman's son and the ruler's daughter. And he showed mercy too to the poor woman of Canaan and the blind beggar Bartimaeus. Old blind Bartimaeus sat by the roadside and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming this way. And old blind Bartimaeus began to cry out, "Jesus, thy son of David, Jesus." And the people told him, "Hold your peace, hold your peace." But he cried out the more. And then they said, "He calleth thee." And when Jesus came to blind Bartimaeus, he asked him, "What is it that you would have me to do?" And he said that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. So external circumstances do not affect the compassion of Jesus Christ. Amen. He has compassion on whom he pleases. And then he received sinners of all degrees. He received sinners of all degrees. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Hancock? Well, those who have been outwardly moral as a young rich man, those who have been goody-goody, those who have worked and labored and tried to keep the law for salvation, he even saves those when they call upon the name of the Lord. And those such as Mary Magdalene, he shows mercy to the prostitute. He showed mercy to the drug addict. He showed mercy and grace to the alcoholic. And so he just keeps on showing his mercy. And to those who have been desperately vile, there was a man hung on Calvary's cross between two thieves. And Jesus Christ showed mercy to one of those that called upon his name. And to those who have been cruel and mean, such as Saul of Tarsus and the Jerusalem murders, there was nobody probably any meaner than Saul of Tarsus. He thought that he was doing God a great favor by persecuting the church and arresting those of that way, and whether they be men or women or what, and putting them in jail. But old Saul of Tarsus, he stood one day and heard a young man preach. He heard it preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And he was a witness, and he held the coats of those that rocked Stephen to sleep. But those words were still ringing in his ears on the way to Damascus. And he come face to face with Jesus Christ, who showed great mercy to this mean, vile man. Saved his unwretched soul. Saved him from the pits of hell. And made a great missionary out of him. No amount of guilt or conformity can overtop his power and willingness to save. No matter what the guilt might be, and no matter how long that someone has been in that sin, can top the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save that wretched soul. I'd like for you to note the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And when I hear people brag about their faith, and when I hear people criticize those that are less fortunate, always think about this scripture. Amen. And always think about myself. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" That's true, isn't it? "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rowlers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And listen to this next. "And such were some of you." Amen. "But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." I know there's people who says that alcoholics can't go to heaven. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm going to heaven because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart for the glory of God, and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm heaven bound because of what Jesus did. Amen. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. Amen. That fornicator, all matters of sin can be forgiven. All matters of sin have been and shall be forgiven by the grace of God. And then secondly, this evening, we want to note into what Jesus receives sinners. What does Jesus receive sinners into? Well, first of all, he receives them into his forgiveness, grace, and favor. And I'm so glad. Jesus gave an invitation a long time ago. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest to your souls." Now, first of all then, he receives us into the forgiveness of sins. He says, "Their sins and iniquity will I remember no more." And we hear it very well explained that he took our sins as far as the east is from the west. He did away with them. He put him on the scapegoat. And my scapegoat was the Lord Jesus Christ. He took away my sin. And he received me into forgiveness and his favors. Now all of the favors that God had in store for his son Jesus Christ belonged to me also. Because he received me into that state of grace. He did not come to condemn sinners. Jesus Christ's mission on this earth was not to condemn sinners. Because the Bible is very plain that he that believeth not is condemned already. Amen. So what did he come to do? He come to save sinners. He did not come to condemn sinners or to destroy the lives of the sinners, but he come to save sinners. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. And I'm glad that he did. The foundation blessing of salvation is the forgiveness of sins. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and I made this statement, and some people told me one time that they're going to have to check it out and study. They didn't know if they agreed with it or not, but I'll make it again. But when Jesus Christ stretched out his arms and he said, Clyde Hancock, I love you this much. And he died for me on the cross of Calvary. He paid my sin debt. Amen. Past, present, and future.
Amen.
But he only forgave me those sins up to that time. We're not forgiven sins that we have not committed yet.
Amen.
I can't forgive you for sins that you're going to transgress against me tomorrow because it hasn't happened yet. So my sin debt is paid, past, present, and future. But because he received us into forgiveness and the favor of sin, when I confess my sins, he is just to forgive me and cleanse me.
Amen.
From all unrighteousness.
Amen.
All unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Every sin that I ever committed, the sins I committed today, the sins I shall commit if I live, he paid the sin debt for. And as I sin and confess, the word confess means to say the same thing. And when I say the same thing about my sin that God said about my sin, he is just to forgive me. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. It is the Lord Jesus Christ's prerogative to forgive sinners. He did so in his days of his flesh. He forgave sins. He died for his people on the cross of Calvary. And he has exalted a prince and a savior. He has been exalted to a name above every name, whether it be in heaven or earth or under the earth, he has been exalted to above every name. So he not only pardons, but he graciously forgives them and to his affectionate, receives them into his affectionate regard. So Jesus Christ forgave me. He is forgiven me. He will yet forgive me, and he puts me in his favor.
Amen.
I rejoice greatly in the words of Ephesians chapter 1, and I believe it's verses 5 and 6. And the reason I rejoice so much in this is because I tried so hard when I was young. I tried so hard to do what was right. I tried so hard to be accepted. And it seemed like everything I did was wrong. I worked hard. I worked hard in the military. I tried to be accepted by my superiors. I tried to outshine everybody around me to be accepted. I was brought up in a Christian home. I tried to be accepted by my peer group. I tried to be accepted by my family and my friends and in the military. And then I began to try to be accepted by God Almighty. How many times I repented? How many times I said, I'll never do this again. Lord, just get me out of this mess and I'll never do this again. I remember selling out of Oakland, California headed out under the Bay Bridge and into the ocean. 3 days at sea, the ship broke down. They began to run up certain flags and asked the sailor one day, I said, what does that flag mean? He said, that's a disaster signal. A disaster signal? He said, yeah, we're dead in the water. Old Cloud began to repent. Lord, if you get this ship started, I would want to be accepted. We got the ship started. 3 days later, we broke down again. Old Cloud went back and repented in the same place. The same place. Didn't do any good. We got into Yokohama. Finally, we got on a ship going to Korea. Planes come over. Bombs were dropped. Ships were being sunk. I did a lot of praying then. Oh, man, I did a lot of repenting. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be number one. I wanted to be right with the Lord. I remember being in the darkest nights that I ever saw in my life on a machine gun on a hill that I didn't even know where it was at. Couldn't see my hand in front of me. And I would be afraid and I would repent. I wanted to be accepted. But it wasn't. No matter how hard I fought in combat, no matter how hard I prayed as a lost sinner, I wasn't accepted. And then one day, I come face to face with Jesus Christ. Woo! He made me accepted in the beloved. No more labor, no more work, no more false professions, no more trying to be number one. I was made accepted in the beloved. And that is glory for me. Ephesians 1:5-6, having predestinated us. And I didn't know that then, see. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, man. That puts you on a shouting ground. Now, I'll tell you what. If you're here saved tonight and that don't cause you to rejoice, there's something wrong with you. You need to get your heart tuned up. And when you do, you rejoice. And then Jesus receives sinners into his family. I'm so glad that he's my older brother. I'm so glad that his father is my father. I'm so glad that Brother Eugene Clark is my brother. When I come to Faith Church in 1984, I met brothers and sisters I didn't even know I had. As I've traveled over this land and country and to Bible conferences and churches and so forth, I met brothers and sisters I didn't even know I had. So Jesus received sinners into his family. The prodigal son was received into his family. And not only was he forgiven, he was made welcome. A feast was set. A clean garment was given. And a ring was placed on his finger. I want you to note the words of John 1:12-13. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, a lot of people stop right there, but if you do, you lose the meaning of the verse. That is not the end of the sentence. That is not a period there. Now, this is an independent clause, and the next one is an independent clause, and it is joined together by a coordinating conjunction. And the coordinating conjunction here is the word which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So who is it that believes and repents? He that is born again. So repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ is evidence of being born again according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that'll make you rejoice too. You see, that way we don't have to depend on being mommy sent and daddy called or vice versa, see. And Jesus received sinners into his kingdom. I'm glad what Brother Frank James preached today about the kingdom. It is the present spiritual reality, Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in the hearts of his people.
Amen.
It will be a future physical reality when he sits on the throne of David. And we that are saved by God's amazing grace, we'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And won't that be glory for me? In the book of John, chapter 3, and verse 5, Jesus answered him, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So Jesus receives sinners into the kingdom. And also Jesus receives sinners into his church. The church that Jesus built is made up of sinners. There's only two kinds of people in the world today, and they're both sinners. Lost sinners and saved sinners. Lost sinners and saved sinners. And then Jesus receives sinners into heaven. Now, when Jesus Christ died between those two thieves, there was a thief there that said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise." That's what we call in Florida County, Kentucky, right now. Right now. Not next week. Not next year, but he said, right now, you're going to be with me. So he received sinners into heaven. So Jesus has opened a way to heaven for sinners. He sits in heaven dispensing the blessings of salvation to sinners. He gives them a title of heaven to sinners. He sends his spirit to dwell in their souls of sinners. He guides them into heaven, and when they die, he admits them into the everlasting kingdom. Thank God that he receives sinners.
Amen.
And then lastly, very quickly this evening, we want to note the way and manner in which Christ receiveth sinners. He receiveth them in the way of acknowledgement and confession. No man, woman, boy, or girl will ever be saved until they get lost.
Amen.
He only saves lost people. He did not come for the goody-goody. He said, "Those that are well need not a physician." So he come to save the lost. Our Sunday school teacher back at Big Creek Baptist Church, he says, "The lost, lost. You never get saved until you get lost, lost. Know that you're lost." So when you acknowledge that you're lost and deserving of hell and stand in need of a Savior, and only then can a man repent of his sins and turn toward God through faith in Jesus Christ. He that denies his sin, or he that covers his sin, shall not prosper, and Jesus Christ will reject it. The Bible says he that confesses his sin, he will be forgiven, because he is just to forgive. David confessed. The old publican confessed. The prodigal son confessed. And if we feel our sins, there will be deep, sincere confession. And we ought to be ashamed of our sins. And we ought to feel our sins. The Holy Spirit dwells within us to show us the difference between right and wrong, and to convict us when we're sinning against a holy and a righteous and just God. And when God shows you that you're lost, gives you that grace, you'll know it. He receives them in the way of repentance or turning from sin. I've always said and always will say, I'll keep preaching as long as God gives me grace, that there is no salvation outside of repentance.
Amen.
And he saves them from their sins and not in their sins. Rebellion must end. Sin must be forsaken. And the way of iniquity must be abandoned. He requires that we forsake all. He did not save the prostitute and allowed her to keep whoring. He did not save the drunk and allowed him to keep drinking. When God saved my unworthy soul, I'd been drunk for 20 years. And I haven't been drunk since. He healed me. He made me whole. All things passed away. He receiveth in the way of humility and faith. Nothing have I to brag about. To believe in him, both in his ability and willingness, was and ever will be essential. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, that he can and does reward those that seek him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. The leper came and said, Lord, if thou willest, thou canst. Then we must believe in his power and his readiness to save. And we must rely entirely on him for salvation. And we see striking evidence of this faith in the people who let the sick down through the roof. When they came and the people were too many to get into the door, they took the roof off and they let the sick down. That was demonstrated. And we see this in the woman who touched the hem of his garment. In all that crowd, he said, someone touched me. And this is the only way in which Jesus receives sinners. Now, after the manner in which Christ receiveth sinners, he receives them most freely. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. No money to buy salvation. And you know what? He waits and he invites and he exhorts and entreats. And most tenderly, he did not wound by upbraiding. The Apostle Peter said, Lord, these may leave you, but I won't. I'll die with you. And he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And sure enough, Peter did. But you know what? All he had to do was look at Peter. He looked at him tenderly. It broke his heart. You know? I love the fact that when I sin and in humility I come to the throne of grace confessing my sins, he doesn't say, Clyde, that's the fifth time you've done that. He doesn't say, Clyde, you did that yesterday. He just forgives me. Amen. He just forgives me. Yeah. I remember in that preacher's living room floor in Casita, Georgia, 1968. That old preacher said, son, I'm going to help you. He said, because you're not crazy, you're lost, and what you need is a Savior. He said, I can't save you, but I'm going to pray that God will save you. And that old preacher began to pray, and God touched my heart, caused me to fall prostrate on that floor and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't say, you're unworthy. He didn't say, you're an old drunk. He didn't say anything like that. He just forgave me. Right. Amen. Wiped the slate clean. Amen. Cleaned me up. He did not upbraid Matthew, the tax gatherer, nor Zacchaeus, the extortioner, nor Mary, nor the sinner, nor the thief on the cross. Most readily, that is at once, right now, he does not upbraid. He did not send them back to the desert to go around Mount Sinai again. He did not send them to the school of reformation. He did not make them stand in the corner with a dunce cap on. Freely and ready right now. When we confess our sins, he is just to forgive. Let's see if we can make some application in the next 2 minutes. The subject is one to which every believer's heart responds. Every person that is here saved. You remember when God awoke you to the fact that you were lost? You remember how miserable you were? And you remember what a relief it was when you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? You remember how readily Christ heard you cry and responded to your need? The psalmist said he heard my cry, and he picked me up out of the miry pit. The subject is full of encouragement to the inquiring sinner. Do not hesitate. Do not doubt. If you're here tonight and you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ, and you realize that you're lost, call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Seek ye him while he may be found. Will he save me? Yes, he will. Amen. The Bible says that all call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Amen. The subject is limited to the present life. There's no grace in the grave. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. As a soul wings its way out into eternity, so shall it be. So it's limited to this life. One must repent and believe while they have breath to so do. And the only life that you have is a breath in your nostril at this time. If you're here lost and undone tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you might say, Brother Hancock, how do I know if I'm lost or saved? Well, it's very simple. If there's never been a time in your life when a godless sorrow was wrought in your heart that produced two inseparable graces, repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, if that's never happened to you, you're lost and one heartbeat away from an eternity in hell. You might say, Brother Hancock, what do I need to do to be lost? Nothing. Just go with the flow. Wide is the gate. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Brother Hancock, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer of Paul and Silas that, and the answer to it was simply by saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. That includes repentance. Repentance toward God. Faith in Jesus Christ. He'll save the whoremonger. He'll save the drug addict. He'll save the prostitute. He'll save the liar. He saved the chief of sinners. Saul of Tarsus claimed to be the chief of sinners. He saved him, and he saved me. And there's other men in this congregation that would testify to the fact that they would come in a second place with Saul, and they would say, God will save every man, woman, boy, girl that call upon the name of the Lord. May God bless. Brother Pastor.
Amen.